All that I know about growing grapes and working in a vineyard could probably be distilled into a paragraph. Now, this week I had in mind some homework, a field trip. I thought about going to one of the two vineyards in our very own valley here and just asking some questions. Didn't get around to doing it. But what little I know about growing a vineyard can be distilled into, it takes a long view. Probably the same could be said about all agriculture, but especially in growing grapes. I mean, like asparagus, with asparagus, those of you who grow it, you plant it in the soil, or transplant it in the soil, but the first season, do you get anything that's worth eating? No. How many seasons does it require before you start getting good asparagus?
Three.
You know how many, I don't know the answer to this question, but how many seasons it takes before you start getting good grapes? I know that it's at least two, perhaps even three. But I also know that the long view of it is that the longer that you grow them, the better you tend to them, the better the grapes come forth. Now, it may be perilous for a brethren preacher to be talking about vineyards and what comes out of vineyards. But I have heard that, you know, how you grow the grape says a great deal about the wine that is produced. It takes a great deal of tending. So I can understand the reluctance of those, as I hear this parable and try to hear it through the ears of those who might have first heard it. I understand the reluctance of releasing something over which there is ownership. I mean, in the church, for instance, one of the things we strive for is that we strive to create an environment where people take ownership for this vineyard. Can I call us that? This vineyard of the Lord, where hopefully fruit is being produced. That we take ownership of it and that we not just become wine tasters. There's a difference between being someone who tends the fields and someone who tastes the wine. And I would say that perhaps in this day and age, one of the struggles we have is we have more people that want to be wine tasters and fewer people that want to be wine producers. Because wine tasting is something you can do in a day. You can go and taste and say, that's good. Or if you don't like wine, go, ew, that's not. But wine producing involves a great deal of time, of energy. Think of all the weeding that has to be done. Think of all the pruning that has to be done. Think about all the tying up that has to be done. As I say, I don't know all that much about growing grapes, but I know that you need to create an arbor, that you need to have things for those grapevines to climb up and to be able to grow. Otherwise, they just lie on the ground and rot. And in the course of developing a good grape, you need to cut out the pieces that are not good and perhaps even splice in, is that the word you use, other branches that would produce better. It takes a lot of work. And I can understand. In this story, as it's told, I don't know how much Jesus intended, because he didn't go into detail. He doesn't ever really go into detail. He gives you enough of a story always in his parables to step into them. But as in this one, sometimes the stepping in is just enough for you to get so invested in that the kicker gets you in the end. I can understand this and how they might see it as a threat, because I don't know how much this landowner, for instance, did. It says he planted the vine, Does that mean that he did the work of building the arbors and everything? Or did he just plant? It says he put a fence around, or a hedge is actually probably what was done back then. A hedge, and what did it till? I mean, did he develop the hedge? I mean, it takes years for a good hedge to develop. And what is the hedge there for? The hedge there is to protect and to keep out things like deer. I mean, some of you know you've got plenty of fences at your place, don't you, Jane, to try to keep out those deer from eating all the wonderful things in your on your trees and everything. Plus, there's this watchtower, it says. Now, don't be thinking of the old fort with the wood watchtower up there. Be thinking of something that was built, because oftentimes, in especially in Palestine, vineyards were on the hills. And at the top of the hill would be the watchtower. And it's not made of wood, it would be made of stone. And it would actually be, as I've read, probably the first floor would be living space. And then the top floor would be the area from which you could look out. And what were you looking out for on top of that watchtower? Probably, looking out for animals that might be trying to come in, because they would be the ones probably more than thieves coming in to steal the grapes. Be watching out from there. But your whole goal in being on the watchtower is to protect. And so not only were these people in this story involved in the nurture and the care of this vineyard, they were also especially concerned about its protection. So I can understand their sense of ownership. When the owner who, yeah, he planted it, yeah, he did all this other stuff, but he came to claim the profits, to claim the grapes. And I can understand a little bit of that. Can you? Of course, I'm not sure I fully understand their rationale for how they treated his representatives. Especially the final one. And if you were listening, that sounds familiar. Who is this son, the representative? You got it. You know who he's talking about here. And so did probably the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other religious leaders down the road realize what he was getting at. It was the kicker. They probably, in that moment when he asked the question, what should the landowner do? And they said, you should just get rid of them and get new renters. Probably in that moment, they realized what they had done. They fell into a trap. But then, recognize in this whole two chapters of Matthew's gospel, it's a series of planting traps. Because they start the whole process. They get into plant trapping. By whose authority are you doing what you're doing? Then they ask questions like, there are seven brothers and the first one marries a wife and he dies and she marries the next one and he dies and she marries the next one, on down through the line. In heaven, who's going to be the real husband? Laying a trap. And you remember another one of the traps they laid had to do with paying taxes. Should we pay taxes? It was a question that was fraught with all sorts of potential wrong steps. And you may remember how Jesus did that. So the story, there are a lot of booby traps through all of here. But I can understand the sense of ownership. Because it's important that we take ownership. Church, but perhaps the most important thing we always need to remember as we take ownership, as we take responsibility for the nurture of one another's, recognizing that the development of faith, these fruit of the spirits, takes time. It just doesn't happen overnight. We aren't born with peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those fruit of the spirit. It doesn't just pop out of our very being. It's not necessarily written into our DNA. These things are developed And we put sweat and perhaps blood and tears into their development. So we nurture these things in this vineyard. It takes getting involved, not being a wine taster, but of being a wine producer. But there is a certain point at which we relinquish control and recognize whose vineyard this is. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus said according to the Gospel of John. It's God's vineyard. Now that hedge, if I might remind you, was an image that later rabbis would use to describe the Torah, the law of God. It was a hedge. And its purpose was to protect the vineyard within, the vineyard of God's people. And back in that day and age, what Jesus was getting across is that you have not sought to use this hedge as a protector of the vineyard. You have sought this as a fence to keep God's people in, to imprison them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites that you are, Jesus said. Not to protect, but to imprison. The Torah not as a hedge to guard, but as something to close in. And sometimes we can do that in the church as well, in relation to the boundaries that we set. There are things that we seek to do to guard, to help protect and nurture. But these very things can be things that keep out and keep in harmful ways. Always, always, the goal of producing good fruit, always, always with the goal of being branches that shouldn't be pruned, but being good grapes. Now, just with a final thing, you know the process of making wine, don't you? The grapes do not remain themselves, do they? I mean, you don't just open a bottle of wine or grape juice, whatever, and pour it out, and look, 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 out comes the little individual fruits. What's done with them? Yes. That's right. I'm glad you were listening. They squeeze it. The fruit is smashed. It is stepped on. Squashed to make the juice. Has a whole different understanding to the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? Remember what fruit is for. Is it there to be like plastic fruit on the table? It's to be eaten. Okay. Same question I asked earlier. Whose vineyard is this? Is it our vineyard? Or is it the Lord's? Rhetorical question. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus said.